Welcome to Clear Text. It's Friday, August 28th, 2026. I'm Alex Chen.
And I'm Jordan Reeves. Let's get into it.
We have a packed show today. The White House just dropped a sweeping executive action banning foreign-made components and power generation equipment. We've got factory-embedded backdoors shipping in Chinese routers, APT-28 rolling out a new backdoor across European governments, three simultaneous CVSS 10.0 vulnerabilities in ServiceNow, North Korean operatives expanding well beyond IT roles, AI tools being weaponized for ransomware, a federal law enforcement breach, millions of airport customer records stolen, and Papercut getting chained into oblivion. Jordan, let's start with the big one.
Yeah, let's talk about the executive order. The White House is banning acquisition of foreign-made components used in electricity management and power generation. The stated rationale is that foreign actors are, quote, increasingly creating and exploiting vulnerabilities in energy management technology. And look, this is not new rhetoric, but the action itself is significant. We've been dancing around this for years. The original Bulk Power System Executive Order from 2020 got paused, revived, modified. This one appears to have real teeth.
What makes this one different is the breadth. This isn't just about transformers from China, which was the previous conversation. This covers the full stack of components involved in managing electricity and power generation. If you're a CISO at a utility, an energy company, or frankly any enterprise that operates or supports critical infrastructure, you need to be pulling your procurement lists today. Your third-party risk framework needs an update, and you need to be having conversations with your supply chain teams about where your industrial control system components actually come from.
And here's the thing that doesn't get said enough. Most organizations don't actually know. The bill of materials for a substation or generation facility is sprawling, and the visibility into sub-tier suppliers is often terrible. This order is going to force a reckoning with that opacity.
Which connects perfectly to the ZBT router story, because this is the exact scenario the executive order is trying to prevent.
Right. Volncheck disclosed two factory-embedded implants in firmware for routers built by Shenzhen Jibotong Electronics. These aren't vulnerabilities that got introduced through sloppy coding. These are implants, named Speaking Stone and Dark Lantern, present in devices as shipped. Both give an unauthenticated remote attacker root access. They've been assigned CVEs. This is supply chain compromise at the manufacturing level.
And for CISOs, the question is straightforward but uncomfortable. Do you know if ZBT hardware is in your environment? Do you know if it's in your third party's environments? These aren't enterprise-grade routers that show up in your procurement system with a nice label. They're often white-labeled, rebranded, embedded in other products. They show up in branch offices, in OT networks, in partner environments. The audit here is not trivial, but it's necessary.
This is the supply chain story that keeps repeating. Whether it's Huawei, whether it's TP-Link, whether it's ZBT, the pattern is consistent, and the executive order we just discussed is essentially the policy response to exactly this class of threat.
Let's pivot to the APT-28 campaign. Jordan, walk us through Hook Edge.
So, Recorded Future's Insect Group attributed a campaign running from late September 2025 through April 2026, targeting government and diplomatic organizations in Romania, Spain, and Turkey. The novel element is Hook Edge, a previously undocumented backdoor that is, interestingly, a Windows batch script. It's not a sophisticated compiled binary, it's a batch script. And that's the point. It's designed to be simple, to blend in, to avoid triggering the kinds of detection that more complex malware would.
APT-28 has always been pragmatic about tooling. They use what works, and a batch script backdoor is going to fly under a lot of EDR solutions that are looking for compiled executables, DLL injection, the usual suspects. For CISOs with European operations, government contractor relationships, or diplomatic adjacency, the IOCs from the Insect Group report should be in your threat intel platform today. But beyond the indicators, think about whether your detection logic would catch a weaponized batch script that's doing command and control.
And the targeting of Romania, Spain, and Turkey is geopolitically coherent. All three are NATO members. All three have been active in various dimensions of the Ukraine-related diplomatic and military landscape. This isn't opportunistic. This is targeted collection.
Let's stay geopolitical for a moment and talk about the DPRK remote worker expansion. This one is evolving fast.
Huntress is now identifying suspected North Korean remote workers embedded in sales, marketing, and medical roles. Not IT, sales and marketing. This is a significant expansion of the operational playbook. Previously, the guidance was focused on screening technical hires, looking for remote IT workers with fabricated identities. Now the attack surface is the entire remote workforce.
And here's what makes this so difficult. These individuals perform legitimate job duties. They do the work, they show up to meetings, they complete tasks. The revenue they generate goes back to Pyongyang, and in some cases, they're positioned to access sensitive data, customer information, strategic plans. Traditional cybersecurity detection doesn't catch this because there's nothing to detect from a technical standpoint. This is a hiring and identity verification problem.
Which means CISOs need to be in the room with HR leadership, with legal, with recruiting. Identity verification for remote hires needs to be significantly more rigorous, and it can't be limited to engineering and IT roles anymore.
Let's talk about the AI threat landscape. Two stories that are really two sides of the same coin.
The first is concrete. Aurora ransomware operators are documented using Cursor Agent AI, the coding assistant, to conduct reconnaissance and exploitation tasks. This is a real-world case of a commercial AI tool being integrated into a ransomware kill chain. Not a proof of concept, not a research paper. Actual criminal operations.
And the second story is the strategic framing. Over 100 companies, including OpenAI, Anthropic, Google, and Microsoft, issued a collective warning that the window for effective defensive response to AI-enabled attacks is narrowing rapidly. When you see competitors setting aside their differences to issue a joint statement, that should tell you something about the severity of the assessment.
For CISOs, the tactical takeaway from the Cursor story is that your AI governance policy needs teeth. Who has access to agentic AI tools in your environment? What are the acceptable use boundaries? Can those tools be used to interact with production systems? The strategic takeaway from the joint warning is that your board needs to understand that AI is not just a productivity story. It is an asymmetric force multiplier for attackers, and your defensive investment needs to reflect that.
Two breaches to cover. Jordan, the ATF hit first.
Killen ransomware claimed the ATF. The compromise system contained information on active investigation targets. That is an extraordinary intelligence win for a criminal group. ATF says it was a standalone system, didn't impact critical operations. Maybe, but the sensitivity of the data, the identities of people under federal investigation, that has real-world safety implications.
And for CISOs who work with law enforcement, who share threat intelligence, who have joint investigation relationships, this raises the question of what data you've shared and where it lives on their systems. The counterintelligence dimension here is not theoretical.
Manchester Airports Group is the other breach. Unauthorized access to customer data across three UK airports, affecting millions of individuals. Transportation and travel remain persistent targets. Under UK GDPR, the notification and regulatory obligations here are significant.
If you're in the travel or transportation sector, or if your business involves handling passenger data, this is your reminder to pressure test your incident response plan against exactly this one.
Let's hit the vulnerability stories quickly because both of them demand action today. ServiceNow disclosed three CVSS 10.0 vulnerabilities in the AI platform: code injection, SQL injection, privilege escalation, all exploitable by unauthenticated attackers. ServiceNow patched hosted instances automatically, but if you're self-hosted or partner-managed, you need to verify the patch manually. Today, not Monday.
ServiceNow is the backbone of IT operations and security workflows in most large enterprises. A CVSS 10.0 in ServiceNow is not a hypothetical risk. It's a direct path to your crown jewels. Verify your patch status before you leave for the weekend.
Papercut is the other one. Attackers are actively chaining two vulnerabilities to achieve unauthenticated remote code execution across all versions of Papercut NG and MF. The initial emergency patch was bypassed, so Papercut had to release a second fix with additional hardening. There are confirmed customer incidents. If you run Papercut, confirm you're on the second patch, not the first.
All right, let's step back for the outlook. Jordan, when you look at today's stories collectively, what's the thread?
The thread is supply chain integrity, and I mean that broadly. Foreign components and power infrastructure, factory-implanted backdoors and routers, North Korean operatives embedded in your workforce through your hiring pipeline, AI tools built for productivity being co-opted for attack. Every one of these stories is about something entering your environment through a channel you thought was trusted.
I agree. And the policy response is accelerating. The executive order on power generation components, the joint industry warning on AI. The regulatory and policy environment is moving faster than most security programs are adapting. If you're heading into budget season, and many of you are, supply chain integrity and AI governance need to be top line items. These aren't emerging risks anymore. They're present tense operational realities.
And the velocity of exploitation is compressing. ServiceNow patches three 10.0s. Papercut's first emergency patch gets bypassed within the exploitation window. The time between disclosure and active exploitation is approaching zero in some cases. Your patch management SLAs need to reflect that reality.
That's our show for today. Show notes and links to every story we covered are at cleartext.fm. Have a good weekend, everyone. Stay sharp.
See you Monday.